Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Titagarh Rail Systems Limited 4Q FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star 10-0 on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zico. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I welcome you all to Q4 FY24 post-results earnings call. To discuss the results, we have with us from the management, Mr. Umesh Chaudhary, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Pritesh Chaudhary, Deputy Managing Director of the company, Mr. Anil Agarwal, Deputy Managing Director and CEO of Freight Rail Systems. I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Umesh Chaudhary for his opening remark, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shah. Very good afternoon to everybody. I'm Umesh Chaudhary, the CEO of the company. Thank you, everybody, for joining the investor call for the FY24 and the Q4 of FY24 earnings call. There have been some important, of course, the numbers have already been shared and the investor presentation has already been uploaded on the website of the company. There have been a few important highlights of this quarter and of the year gone by. Of course, the year has been the highest ever turnover that we have achieved in the company, and also the quarter four has been the first time that the company has touched a four-figure revenue number. It has crossed the 1,000 crore per quarter mark. We ended the year with approximately 8,400 wagons produced, which is a run rate of about 700, which is our rated capacity. But we did touch a 1,000 wagon mark on a couple of occasions, including in March of 2024, which effectively resulted in breaking the glass ceiling or the mental barrier of doing 1,000 wagons. We expect that we should be able to do a run rate of between 950 to 1,000 wagons in the coming year. And we'd be able to gradually ramp it up to 1,000 consistently. In terms of the passenger rail systems, Q4 has been a little muted, primarily because the Pune metro contract was coming to an end and the production was already over. And the Bangalore metro production was delayed by a couple of months on account of delay in installation of the machinery, which was imported also from China. So there were some problems, delays in getting visas for installing those machines by the engineers. Also, the technology transfer in this is a subcontract that we have got from CRRC. So there were some delays, but now those problems are over and the production is starting in the next few days. So we believe that the passenger railway systems will start picking up from Q1 and Q2 of this financial year, primarily from Q2, because that's the time when the Surat and Ahmedabad production is also likely to begin. As regards the Vande Bharat contract is concerned, that is going on also pretty well, and we are on schedule to be able to meet with the delivery contractual conditions of the contract. So in a nutshell, it's been a year as per expectations, and we believe that currently, although the bulk of the revenue which has come from the freight would continue to grow, we also expect that the passenger rail system division would start, of course, contributing from the current financial, that is FY25, but the real point of inflection for the PRS will happen from FY26 and further in FY27. So with those opening comments, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question, so I'm looking at railway vacancy data on that railway website. I have seen strong increase in the volume side, not only data care, look at competitors also. I just want to understand what the transition happening in the industry and whether the execution will improve from here onwards. And is there any supply chain or any execution disruptions we can foresee next one or two quarters because of this election? These are my first question.
Okay, thank you very much. So as far as yes, you are right that the overall industry performance and the overall demand for wagon to that extent has been quite robust. It has been growing. And as I mentioned that we were at a run rate of 700 wagons last year. We are looking at increasing that run rate to around 950 odd wagons this year. So definitely there is the ramp up which is planned. But as far as T-Tagger is concerned and as far as the supply chain constraints, they are normal part of business. They keep on happening from time to time. No significant supply chain disruptions are expected, which are likely to hamper our targets.
Okay, sir. Sir, on the passenger rail system side, what kind of volume numbers per month we are doing right now? And you have mentioned about from Q2 onwards, we can expect Surat and Ahmedabad metro execution side. What kind of ramp up is expected? And right now, our margin side is around 2 to 3% kind of range only. So earlier guidance we have mentioned around 4 to 5% margin expansion. Roughly, it's around 7 to 8% kind of range. Like whether we can expect from Q3, Q4, or it will take FY26 in that time.
So interesting question. So if you would see the numbers, we had done about 14 trains or so last financial year, which is an average of about 4 cars per month. 14 cars, trains are each train is about 3 cars per train. So the run rate that we have achieved on a blended basis for the entire FY24 is about, let's say, on a ballpark of 4 cars per month. We expect that the total capacity that we are creating for the metro business is about 36 cars per month. That will be the total capacity. And the Vande Bharat line that is being set up will be an additional 36 cars per month. So the total estimated capacity that we are likely to achieve, which will take maybe about 2 years or 2.5 years, is about 72 cars per month. However, we are confident of being able to achieve in the metro line, which is being set up now. We are confident to achieve around between 15 and 20 cars per month by the end of this financial year. So, at a break-even level or at a sustainable level of about 15 cars, we expect that the margins for the PRS should be on double digit, low double digits, about 10%. And when the propulsion that we have announced is also combined with the rolling stock, with the passenger rolling stock, which will take maybe another couple of years, we will see a margin expansion of another about 4 to 4.5% I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Sir, one of capital goods player is setting up a metro project in India to cater into international market as per the recent con call. So any thought process on the export side, what kind of opportunities we have?
Definitely a metro coach is easily exportable. The reason is, if I give a kind of a comparison, wagon, which has the same, approximately the same volumetric capacity, costs 35 to 40 lakhs, whereas a metro coach with the same volumetric capacity is priced at 10 to 12 crores. So the transportation costs as a percentage of the equipment cost is much lesser in the metro, and the cost arbitrage available in favor of India is high. So once we have been able to establish ourselves very well in the Indian market, we will definitely look at export. Having said that, we have already got some export orders for components, and we are now doing propulsion traction converters and other electrical components for coaches for Europe, which will be produced in Calcutta and exported to Europe.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back into you for further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for the opportunity and great set of numbers, sir. My first question would be on the freight side, sir. I would like to know how many total wagons we did for this whole year, for this quarter as well, and the broad split between private and public.
May I request the CEO of the freight rail system business,
Mr. Anilagar, to answer this question? Yeah, so this year, as Mr. Chaudhary already mentioned, in totality, it is around 8,400 wagons. And in the quarter, last quarter, Q4, we did around 2,700 wagons. And the split is roughly around, 55 to 60% of the Indian railway and 40 to 45% of the private.
Okay, sir. And any margin improvement do you all see when you all ramp up your capacity from the 700 monthly run rate to 950,000 wagons per month run rate in the coming fiscal?
Yes, so as we have already, always maintained an indication of around, closer to 12% EBITDA for the freight business. So and we are also doing lot of in-house component development. So that's also going to improve the EBITDA margin a bit. And of course, with the overall increase in the volume, so we expect a margin improvement maybe by 50 basis points to 1% in the coming quarters from the existing level. So I would not would like to be very specific about the quarter to quarter, but yeah, definitely if we take the whole year on an average, I think that we should definitely see some a margin improvement.
Thank you. So the line for Mr. Akash has dropped. May I request that we move to the next participant? The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of results. My first question is, sir, now with you already being doing wagon production of 1,000 per month, and the demand in the industry, whether it's Indian Railways or from the private side, it's robust for the coming years. Would you look to expand the current capacity in FY25 or 26 to take it to maybe 20, 30 or 40% higher compared to the current production levels?
So as far as the current demand of the Indian Railway is concerned, which is at about 30,000-35,000 freight wagons a year, we believe that the market share of 12,000 is a decent one considering the overall market scenario. But we also believe that the government has announced in the interim budget that there would be additional freight corridors which would be planned, and we do believe that if these freight corridors come up, or even if there is a larger shift from road to rail, in order to make Indian economy more cost competitive, to which will be an essential for enabling the Indian economy to become the third largest economy in the world. And if there is a shift in the demand to a higher number, then definitely we would look at a capacity expansion. But for the current capacity, we believe that this is a reasonable capacity. Already it would mean a growth from last year of almost 35% or even more.
Right, sir. Sir, on the same line, if we do a debottlenecking exercise, how much capacity can be expanded with no cost or minimal cost for the obviously vegans?
That would be a very theoretical exercise to be discussed over a conference call, because manufacturing is a complex process.
Sure.
And, you know, it will be very difficult to give an answer which is... real or accurate in a call like this.
Oh, okay, sir, not a problem. Sir, my next question will be, what will be the capex for FY25 and 26, if you can highlight a number?
We had already mentioned in public domain that the total capex that we have earmarked as a company was about 1,000 crores, out of which some amount has already been spent, which is going towards the capacity building for the passenger coach, the enhancement upgradation of the foundry, plus the backward integration efforts, and also some special purpose projects like the wheel project, etc. So that is that remains unchanged.
Okay, so can we take around 500-700 crores per annum, or maybe slightly more in the next 2 years per annum basis?
We've given the information I can share with you is what we have shared already in public domain, which is 1,000 okay. crores over the next couple of years.
Okay, sir. Sir, my next question will be, what is the breakup of the order book between private and public on the FRS freight rail system side? And also, if you can give the revenue breakup for the year on the same.
We've already given the numbers in the presentation that has been uploaded. And if I may request you to refer to the presentation, we would only be able to disclose the numbers which have been disclosed or shared in the presentation for propriety as well as competitive reasons.
Sure, sir. Any new products are you looking at on the backward integration side or any other vertical?
We are continuously looking at expanding the value chain. Like we have always communicated, there are two epicenters to our strategy. One is the freight wagon, the second is the passenger coach. And around that, whatever value can be captured around those epicenters, so Aradhar is trying to capture that, whether it is by way of the backward integration for components, which is meaningful, which either helps us to debottleneck our any supply chain constraint, or substantively increases our efficiency or cost, gives us cost advantage, or whether it is by way of forward integration in terms of entering into services.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parvez Qazi from Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations for a great set of numbers. So my question is regarding the coach division. Now, we do expect work for the Bangalore Metro order to start. So what would be the execution time frame for this order?
Yeah, thank you, Parvez. So as far as the execution of this order is concerned, we are expecting the first train to be delivered by the beginning of July or in the Q2 of this financial year. And our stainless steel production line would also start within the next few days, and we will announce as it is as and when once it is done. So the production will ramp up. So by and large, we are expecting to reach a run rate of two trains, which is in this case is six cars per train. So two trains per month within this financial year.
Great. Which would mean that largely we should be able to complete it within 2 years, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And with regards to the other two metro rail orders that we have, when do we expect the production for them to start, Surat and Ahmedabad?
The production of that, as we have mentioned in our results, in the notes to the results, will start this month. The designing and the progress is very much on track, and we will start the production this financial year.
Great, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. May I request that you use your handset, please?
Just hold
on. Is it better?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is on the metro side. You did highlight it. There's an expansion, which, you know, we're moving to almost 36 per month for metro and 36 per month for Vande Bharat. Just wanted to understand the current capacity utilization, and second thing, the order prospect in metro in next 12-18 months, which we are bidding or expecting to come out in market.
Sure. So as far as the current capacity is concerned, the aluminium metro that we produced was of aluminium. And we have switched over to manufacturing stainless steel, of course, having the capability to produce aluminium simply because it's more cost efficient, and we have to compete and make margins in the business compared to our competitors. So this line that we are setting up will be in production, as I said, in a few days, few weeks, and this will give us a capacity on a gradual basis to get up to 36 cars per month. In the beginning, we are looking at getting to around 15 cars, as I mentioned a little while ago. Within this year, we will be able to achieve, within this financial year, we should be able to achieve between 15 and 20 cars per month there. The Vande Bharat line will be a brownfield expansion that is undergoing. The CAPEX plans have already been formed up. Plant and machineries have already been ordered. And we are expecting the production of that to start by the end of this financial year.
Right, so tender process.
In terms of the new, yeah, sure. So as far as metros are concerned, you would have seen in public domain, and this information is also available on the website of the Ministry of Housing and Urban Affairs. There are a number of metro projects that are underway. And, you know, both our passenger business and the freight business actually, while being in the capital goods sector, they are to an extent like a consumable for the infrastructure. So wherever infrastructure, that is railway tracks, are being created or capacity is being created for freight, in order to utilize that capacity, the last mile of the investment is the rolling stock where we come in. So it's a very easily kind of identifiable number of how many rolling stock requirements should be there based on the metro projects that have been sanctioned. So there is Chennai, there is Mumbai, three lines that are going on. There is Bhubaneswar, there is Patna, there is further Delhi. So there are a number of projects that are there in the pipeline, and we believe that urban mobility is going to be the order of the day with the, even the tier, not only the tier one, but the tier two and tier three cities demanding urban mobility. So we do believe that the metro segment should be a segment which will continue to be in demand for the future.
Right. So my second question, you did highlight it about the work on propulsion system. So just wanted to understand, we did had some agreement with ABB for propulsion system, and that now you're talking about propulsion system. So more color on this. How much, you know, is in-house right now, and what is the bought out, and what kind of products in the value chain we are going to make in-house over the next 2 years, and about this propulsion system which you highlighted?
So we've already started propulsion system production. The facilities have already been established. Propulsion system consists of various equipments. Till Pune contract, the entire equipment of the propulsion were bought out for us. But with this ABB agreement and also with the contracts that we have received from the railways, plus some technology that we have received from our Italian investment and so on. So with all of this, we believe that it is a journey that we have embarked upon, and propulsion equipment also requires a greater time for approvals and stability and so on. But thanks to the strategic tie-up with different partners, as I just mentioned, we believe that in around 3 years' time, we should be able to in-house most of the propulsion equipments that we are now purchasing. Apart from some very strategic projects where we would continue to purchase the propulsion equipment, by and large, for example, in the case of Ahmedabad, we are already using the propulsion which comes from ABB and the TCMS, which will be done by ourselves with the technology transfer from ABB. So this will be a gradual process. Again, I would not be able to bifurcate it for both technical and competitive reasons on a minuscule basis. But overall, we have a very clear roadmap that in 3 years' time, we should be able to have substantial part of this propulsion for the rolling stock produced by us as a backward integrated one.
Right. So lastly, on any scope of work for us on the Vande Bharat standard conversion, which was announced, if at all, that comes on stream?
I'm sorry, I did not understand that.
So any scope of work for Titagarh for the Vande Bharat conversion of the old coaches into Vande Bharat standard, which was announced in the interim budget, if at all that comes on stream, are we also going to be part of it?
We would have to see the tenders and the detail of the work. It is not clear whether it is replacement of the old coaches with the new Vande Bharat trains or conversion. It would be difficult to convert old trains into Vande Bharat because both are different technologies. But having been in the Vande Bharat field, every business opportunity, as I said, we are working on the concept. There are two epicenters, passenger coaches and freight wagons. Whatever is getting captured in the radar of these epicenters will be definitely looked at us as a potential opportunity.
All right. So thank you. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of clarification. So is Pune Metro order completed in March 24?
Yes, so the production of the Pune Metro is by and large completed in March 24. We have already dispatched 90% plus of the contracts, contractual trains. Some of the trains which would need, the production is over, as I said, that some of the components have to be fitted, and you know the last trains in the first contract are always there are missing things that have to be done, retrofits that have to be done. So that will be completed in due course. But I would say substantially completed.
So some revenue would be, we would be booking in FY25 as well, a partial revenue.
I would not be able to give you the exact number there, but it would be very, very minuscule. I would not say it would be very substantial.
Okay. And so secondly, if I'm not mistaken, the actual revenue from Surat Metro largely, that would start in 26, right?
It is passenger coaches, or these are capital good equipment which are booked as per the account, relevant accounting standards which follow the percentage of completion method. So the dispatch, the production will start within in this current financial year, which is FY25, and probably the first train also would be dispatched within this financial year. So the revenues would be recognized as per the relevant accounting standards.
Okay. And sir, secondly, for the IR wagons order of 24,000 wagons, so ballpark, how much would have been completed till March 24?
We would only be able to disclose the numbers that have been shared in the presentation. So all the number details that can be shared have already been put in the presentation. I would request you to kindly refer to that.
Okay, sir. Lastly, what would be the order inflows for us in FY24 overall?
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
The total total order inflows that we won in FY24.
So, I think, again, I'm speaking from memory, but it's a very simple number that, you know, from the last opening order book of 1st April 24 to the revenue and the opening order book of 1st April 23 or the closing order book of 23. So, but maybe, Anil, if you have the exact number, you can share it. Otherwise, we can, of course, you can just take it from the presentation as well. Or we can share
we will share it later, sir. I don't have right now that right. number.
But it's easily derivable from the number.
So basically, there is no large, major, no change of scope in the existing orders. So whatever the difference comes, that is the actual inflows.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Garg with Ladder Up Financial Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Shyam, your line has been.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Most of my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Mehta from Nuvama PCG. Please go ahead.
Good evening, team. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is with regard to working capital employed. How are we looking at, like, you know, going forward? Like, you know, because I believe, like, you know, in terms of receivables, there has been substantial increase, maybe in proportion to, like, you know, it's disproportionate to revenue growth. So how are we looking at going forward?
So good afternoon, sir. So as far as the working capital cycle is concerned, there can be always, you know, because the debtors are reported at a point of time, it also depends on the sales pickup, et cetera, et cetera. As I just mentioned, that March was the month where we made the highest number of wagons that have been ever recorded in the history of the Indian wagon industry. We are the only company who have actually crossed the four-figure mark barrier twice during the financial year. One was in December, the second time was in March. So, but we do not see much challenges. We would be very much be able to maintain the working capital, the number of working capital days, which we have been able to maintain in the past. So we don't see challenges in maintaining that.
So don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, as compared to September ending, we have improved in terms of, like, you know, receivables days. Like, you know, I believe, like, you know, it was 600 crores at the end of September 23, and now it is at about 500 crores plus, like, you know. So that's not, but overall, like, you know, because the way we have order book to execute that, like, you know, so working capital cycle days, I mean, that cycle should continue, like, you know, it should not be, like, you know, on the higher side. Is that correct?
Yeah, as I mentioned, that these are all at points of time. So, you know, the points of time can be depending on the customer, depending on the invoicing, depending upon the payment terms of that particular point of particular contract. It can change. But as I just mentioned, that in terms of the overall working capital management, we do not see that as a challenge at all, considering the terms of payment and the working capital cycle that we follow.
Sure, got it. Another is, how is CapEx outlook, like, you know, say for current year FY25 and FY26, how should we look at it?
I just mentioned this a little while ago to one of the queries raised, that the total CapEx that we had announced as a group is about 1,000 crores, including some part of it which has been spent in FY24. So by up till FY26, a total of 1,000 crores would be spent to build up the capacity for producing Vande Bharat, propulsion, the stainless steel metro, and also some backward integration activities that the company has taken up.
Sorry for repeating the question. Last question from my side is in terms of if I look at dividend payout, it is about single digit. Like, you know, so now, I mean, like, you know, if we can look at, like, in the kind of growth and, like, you know, free cash flow, is it that, like, you know, we can consider, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, it will be on the increasing side, or we should continue with this?
That is, again, a decision that is taken from year to year by the board, and I will not be able to comment on that. But what I can only say is that right now the company, if you really see that the company has grown over the last 5-6 years, but the momentum of the growth would continue because the current revenue that has been recognized in FY24 is primarily from freight, and the passenger division is something which is kind of going to take off in the next couple of years and grow from there or fly higher from there. So based on the overall growth that is there, it was deemed appropriate by the board to strike the right balance between the dividend payout and conserving cash for the growth requirements. It was an interesting analysis shared with me that the total top line of the company in FY18, I think, was almost similar to the PAT of the company in FY24. So that signifies the growth that has been achieved primarily thanks to the tailwind in the industry, the infrastructure spent, and the boost to the railways that have been given by the government. And the company has been in a position to be able to position itself rightly and in time to be able to capture that opportunity.
Sure. Thanks. I'm Dan. All the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. Sir, would it be possible to update us on development of this traction motor that you are supplying for Indian Railways? How is that business scaling up?
Sure. Good afternoon, Srinidhi. So, the traction motors is now in the production. We are ramping up the production. We have a capacity to produce up to 150 traction motors, the installed capacity. Our target is that within this financial year, we should get to at least 60 to 70% of that capacity utilization on a monthly basis.
Right. And so do you think this business can scale up, as in you're looking to add more capacities in this business?
Definitely. You see, this is a business which is growing very fast, and all the capex that has been done, all the planning that has been done, has been done with the provision to enhance capacity. So, but, you know, because it's a new business that we have entered into, we are balancing it out, and we are taking firm steps, even if they are smaller steps, we are taking firm steps so that we can establish ourselves for the long run. And we are not wanting to play a T20 match here. We are looking at the test match. So, you know, we are not looking at this for the short term. These are opportunities that are going to sustain themselves for very, very long, and we'd like to be in the long game.
Amazing, sir. And the second one is on the shipbuilding and defense business. What are the medium-term plan out there? You have very good assets there. I think you are looking for a JV partner. Would it be possible to share some update on this part of the business?
Yes, absolutely. We had announced in the past that, you know, this is a segment which offers great opportunity. It has been in the center of the government policy in terms of indigenization, Atmanirbharta, and all of that. So we believe that to really be able to get the real potential, to encash the real potential of this business, it may be necessary at some stage to make this independent, maybe with some strategic partner or otherwise. And definitely this is something which is work in progress, and we would look at taking concrete steps towards the right direction on this business also within this financial year.
Great. Thank you for answering my questions, and all the very best.
Thank you, Srinidhi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kanodia from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, am I audible?
Sir, may I request that you use your handset, please? Your audio is slightly muffled, sir.
Is it any better now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, most of my questions have been answered. So, one thing, if I've heard it correct, that you are still looking out for injecting some strategic partners for your shipbuilding business, right?
Your voice is actually very muffled. I'm sorry, I'm not able to get your question clearly.
Sir, am I audible now?
Yeah, you are. Yes, go ahead, please.
Sir, if I heard correct, then you are looking for some strategic partnerships in your defense and shipbuilding business, right?
What I mentioned is that including the possibility of induction of a strategic partner or otherwise. We are definitely looking at doing the right thing to grow this business. It is a niche business in Titagarh Rail Systems, and as the name of the company suggests, sir, that you know, the company is more focused towards rail systems, and to be able to really encash the real opportunity for the defense and the shipbuilding, it would be necessary to take some steps, whether that is based on the best analysis conducted and the approval of the board, and then ultimately by the shareholders, whether by way of doing it ourselves or by induction of strategic partner, that is something that is going to be crystallized within this financial year.
Okay. Thank you. So the other thing is, just one request. So I couldn't find your presentation on the website. So if you can confirm whether it has been uploaded on your website.
I'm sure it should have been. Anil, can you confirm?
Let me check it out. We have already sent it to, you know, the stock exchanges. Just let me find out if there is any issue or not.
Okay. Because
in any case, it would be available at the stock exchange, but if it is not, if there is some bug, we will rectify it, sir.
Yeah, it is not available on the stock exchange website as well. So I guess that's the reason why there are many questions on the order book as well. So yeah.
We will share it right after this call.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you for answering them, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, can you throw some light on the pipeline for Vande Bharat orders that we expect in the next couple of years?
Very interesting question, sir. You know, we've heard the railway minister and the railways and the government speak about waitlist-free railways in the next 5 years. And we've also heard numbers in the press of very large quantities of Vande Bharat trains that would be required to be built in order to achieve that. So we are building a capacity to produce, as I said, 36 cars per month. And we have an order book of 1,280 cars. And we believe that this demand should pick up the way Vande Bharat trains have gained popularity. There would be the Vande Metro opportunity, there is the MRVC opportunity. So basically the intercity transport, and we also believe that the trains that we are designing and we will be producing, which is the Vande Bharat sleeper trains, would be quite a game changer in terms of the way people would like to travel. So as far as the order inflow is concerned, we can only say that we are very excited with this time of moment that we are in, where the railways is undergoing a complete transformation, and to be in this a small part of this journey of transformation.
Okay. And sir, secondly, this would be largely on the steel side, right? The capacity that we are setting up for Vande Bharat.
What I just told you is the stainless steel one. We have the capability to do aluminium coaches. We've already done Pune Metro aluminium coaches. If there is the aluminium coach opportunity that gets presented by the railways or by other customers, we are the only company in India which are the best suited to be able to put forward to walk towards that opportunity.
So we can expect either of steel or aluminium opportunity on the Vande Bharat side in future?
We can expect either or and both.
Okay.
We would love to see both, but we do not know. I mean, of course, these are all newspaper reports that we are speaking about. We would only know what finally happens in terms of the railway decisions and the government's policy when we see the final tenders come out.
Okay. And sir, lastly, who would be our major competitors both for Metro and for Vande Bharat on the domestic front?
As of now, the current coach manufacturers, apart from the government railway PSPUs, which is ICF, etc., is the Alstom and BNL. We have seen them as the only contenders for the tenders that we participated.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyesh Babaria from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
But just one question on wagon side. From the demand perspective, so I understand we typically speak about DFC that likely to be a driver for next couple of years. However, when we see a couple of reports that says that currently capacity utilization for this Eastern DFC and Western DFC remains very low. So, and they suppose if that remains very low, then the additional pipeline for this DFC will likely to get, you know, delayed. So, any thoughts on this, sir?
So, I think in order to understand this, demand, the overall market needs to be kind of discussed. The Indian logistics cost is one of the highest logistics costs as a percentage of GDP. The market share of the Indian railways is very low compared to the other modes of transport. So these two data points combined, the only way that Indian economy can become more competitive is by moving the mode of logistics from road and air to rail and water. Water having its own limitation, rail is the only mode which can really take over the share of the logistics. It is much more environment friendly, it is much more fuel efficient and faster once the lines are operational. So the fact that and the data that you are saying, I'm not seen this one, but and I've not analyzed this about capacity utilization of DFC being low, would probably be only because the entire stretch would not be complete or the entire utilization is not being done. But I think that there is no reason for the railway capacity utilization being low because it's the lowest cost of transport, the most efficient mode of transport for bulk commodities. So to sum up, I don't see that there should be a challenge in terms of the additional freight corridors coming up merely because for a few months, few quarters, the capacity utilization of the existing eastern and western dedicated freight corridors is low.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you so much for answering that question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, sir.
Sir, understanding from this propulsion point of view, so what is the cost of this propulsion in a metro? And how do we, on overall, with the kind of a capex and ROI we like to expect to generate, on what would be the benefit in terms of EBITDA margin?
So, sir, there are different parts of this question. As far as the percentage of propulsion in a coach is, the cost of propulsion in a coach is anything between 20% to 30%. Depending upon the kind of propulsion, depending upon the speed of the train, depending upon the type of the propulsion. So, but that is the range of the propulsion, cost of propulsion as a percentage of the metro coach. In terms of the EBITDA, I already discussed this a little while ago, that the EBITDA, once we are able to reach a certain volume in the metro, should give us about 10%. And once we are able to integrate it with the propulsion, we could see a expansion of the EBITDA by about 4%, between 4 to 5%, I would say, over a period of time once the capacities again are fully utilized. The ROI, et cetera, is something which, you know, it would be much higher because, as I just mentioned, that developing very large capacities considering the capex that we are spending, and that is primarily because a large part of the infrastructure has already been created by us in the past. So we are looking at a good ROI for the propulsion and the metro and the Vande Bharat rolling stock combined.
One more thing, this tie-up with ABB is mainly for Vande Bharat and not metro. Is that fair understanding? So
it is the other way around, sir. It is for metro, okay, not for Vande Bharat.
And for Vande Bharat, we have tied up with Italian partners. So we will continue to...
Vande Bharat is with the BHEL. It is a consortium bid with BHEL where the propulsion is coming from BHEL.
So, but we will continue in that case, I mean, with our Italian partner as well as JV with the ABB to manufacture both the propulsion or...
Yeah, for different types of propulsion, we would be following different strategies. It would be difficult to explain exactly because these are highly technical matters. But effectively, what we are trying to do is ensure that we have the entire bouquet of products, the entire range of products in the propulsion. And we are picking and choosing the best option that we can from both technology, cost, and availability perspective, from different options of technology. And we are also... I would love to share with you that the engineering capability that we have, design and engineering capability that we have built and we are continuing to build, is also going to help us develop our own technologies. We have a full-fledged design center in Calcutta. We have a joint venture design center in Hyderabad, and we have also opened a design center in Bangalore. So we have multiple design centers which are supporting us for development of these propulsion and for the development of the rolling stock as well.
Okay, great, sir. So on freight side, pardon my ignorance, sir, earlier, see, whenever we used to get from railway these wagon, wheels were used to be supplied by the railway as well as steel material. So now under this new thing, how this thing is, or we are at liberty to buy from wherever we want?
So different contracts have different conditions. When we supply to the railways, normally there is no free supply anymore. Normally we are encouraged to buy these from the railway's own plant in Bangalore. But, you know, again, there is no one size that fits all. There are different contracts that we get which have different criteria. But to answer your question, there is no free supply regime anymore.
So I understand. Now with that, we can use our whole network, I mean, to... procure the material at reasonably much cheaper than what earlier we were getting. So that, how that will really play out, on the one is on the working capital side, and second thing on EBITDA improvement with our procurement capability?
To a great extent, that has already happened, sir, that we have already seen margin expansion, EBITDA expansion. And this is an ongoing process. This is not something which will be a point of inflection like a turn on or a turn off. This is an ongoing process wherein we continuously, as my colleague Anil Agarwal mentioned, that we are continuously endeavoring to improve our EBITDA margins. Earlier, we used to guide for 8 to 10% EBITDA margins. The very fact that we have been able to achieve, and we are guiding for 11.5 to 12% EBITDA margins on the freight side, in itself is been achieved because of operating leverages, and which also includes the right kind of procurement abilities and capabilities.
Is it possible to say, sir, how much is the one order book? I mean, dedicated freight corridor wagons are there?
It is not possible to do that, sir, because the railways do not buy separately. It is all going into a same pool, and the order book details are all shared in the presentation, which are uploaded in the BSE website. And the numbers that I would be able to, unfortunately, due to, of course, as you understand, regulation share, are the ones that are available in the presentation.
So our current blended realization is how much, sir, approximately? And if we have to...
in the presentation, sir. All this data would be in the presentation.
And this dedicated freight corridor is a little higher side, or if you can give some trajectory in staking order.
It's not possible to do that because there is no separate procurement, as I just mentioned.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. So just one small question on the demand from the private wagon industry. So do you continue to see strong demand in that part of the market, the way we witnessed last year?
So, Srinidhi, I think the private demand or the overall demand for the wagons, if you see historically, barring blips, positive or negative ones from time to time, is about 15% of the, between 10 and 20% of the overall demand of wagons is procured by the private sector, and the balance is procured by the Indian Railways. And I believe that that is something that would, that is a trend that is likely to continue. Again, I qualify that barring positive or negative quarters or months which can happen, or periods of time that can happen, on a slightly longer term basis, spanning to maybe over four quarters, the demand pattern is likely to remain the same. This, of course, is a answer that I'm giving out of our experience in the industry, and there is no particular data to substantiate this. It is based on how we have seen the market behave in the past.
Okay. But sir, last year we saw like share of private going significantly up, right? Do you think that will normalize to the trend that you alluded to?
That was the supply. That was not the ordering. The ordering would also remain what I just mentioned to you.
Okay.
But again, it will be blended over a period of time. So that's the reason why we also maintain a healthy mix between our private and the government or the railway supplies, so that we can be present on a longer basis and sustain this kind of capacity utilization on a longer period.
Right. Thank you for answering my question and all the way there.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. It was very, very interesting and I would say educating to get some perspective and some ideas from the various questions that were asked. I hope we've been able to answer the questions that were there, and our investor relation team is available for any further reach out that may be required from anybody. I would like to convey the year has been satisfying. I would like to convey my deepest gratitude to everybody, to all the stakeholders, to the employees, to the stakeholders, to the customer, for supporting us and continuing to support us, and we hope and look forward to this continued support in years to come.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.